sister.
Thank you. I am so, so, so happy that you came out today for us to talk about food and community development. Food and community development.
I'm happy to be here with you, Chef.
Thank you so much. So, today, food and community development. But first, let's let our viewers know a little bit about you, Mr. Malik. Who are you, Mr. Malik?
I am Malik Ahmed, born and raised in New York City, and Harlem in particular, a community that I love. I'm also the founder of Better Family Life. Better Family Life has been around for the past 38 years. Better Family Life has made a dent in the consciousness and the population of St. Louis, as well as the surrounding communities and states. And hopefully soon, Better Family Life will make a dent nationally and then eventually internationally. I am the husband of Deborah Ahmed, the father of Shabazz, and the grandfather of Aaliyah, Anaya, and Amir. I'm also a community servant. It's so important that we serve our community with everything that we have, because we are the only ones that could make an impression that's positive on the lives of folks that look like us.
We are the example, you know. We set the race for them, you know. If we're doing something positive, it gives us hope. And you gave me hope. Let me insert that. I'm just a single mother. I have three children. They're all grown now. Sequoria, Shanisha, and Corian. And I've been working in the food industry my whole life. You know, I worked for Hilton's and Ameristar's and different little places. And I went on my break one day, and there was a newspaper article in the break room, and it said entrepreneurship program at Better Family Life. So I decided to check it out. So on my off day, I came up there, and Mr. Eddie Davis was in charge of the classes, and I took the classes and I sat right in front of the class because I wanted to know about this program. And it was the beginning of the rest of my life. So I am so grateful and thankful that you had this vision to create a building for resources and a place for people to get knowledge on themselves. And the building itself, let me say, audience, it has a spirit in there that makes you feel strong and makes you feel intelligent. It makes you feel like who you're supposed to be. It's your ancestry. It has a mural inside the building that gives you an insight on the history of us from way, way, way back. And I had my little booth set up in the hallway, and I felt good every time. The spirit just kept me going. Well, I just want to thank you.
Let me just say this, Chef Nisi.
Yes, sir.
You have been an inspiration to all of us.
Thank you.
It's one thing to see and have a program like our entrepreneurial program that we hope more and more people would take advantage of.
Yes.
But to see your evolution from going through that program and falling in love with the building, the Better Family Life Cultural Education and Business Center, and then falling in love with the people, and then creating dishes that was in that same spirit. That was amazing. And then this audience, just this young lady, this beautiful lady, the spirit, she creates food that is so tasteful. And what's nice about Better Family Life, the building, you, Chef Nisi, is that all of it is an evolutionary level of growth. I have watched you go from one level to another level, to a higher level, and now you're dealing with soul, spiritual, nutritious food.
Yes.
So I'm just very grateful just to watch you and all of what you have been able to achieve.
I thank you for that. That makes me feel really good inside.
Yes.
I mean, it keeps me going just to get the feedback. You know, when you think you're not doing something, people are watching. So always do your best, no matter what it is, because you never know who's watching. Because entrepreneurs like myself, we mainly live in these areas where they need community development. And we need people like yourself that has these visions and structured minds to give people like us a chance.
Absolutely.
And that was just a great thing that you've done. And it's been there for, I don't know how many years it's been there. How long has it been there?
We purchased the building back in 2005 and then spent 8 years renovating the building. We put $17 million into this building because we wanted it to be a first-class facility.
Mm-hmm.
And we also wanted it to have everything that a community needs. So, you know, we have a workforce department, we have a cultural arts department,
yeah.
We have a family, youth and clinical services,
yes.
We have housing, and we have entrepreneurial
all in training, one. That's what made it so unique.
Yes.
It's right there. You ain't gotta go nowhere. There's no excuse for you not to get some help. It's right there in the center, in the heart of the community.
That's right.
And it's this old school, but you would never know all the love that's in that building.
Oh, yeah. That building was built in 1892. It opened in 1904. It's on the historic monument of historical places. And we are very honored that we have a historic building that is probably one of the best buildings on Page Boulevard
mm-hmm.
in the city of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
But in that building, as you said, Nisi, it's a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
See, what we are showing is that when you put love in the mix, and when you come from a point of view of our culture, our history, you know, mixed into that love, anything is possible. We can create our own masters.
Yes.
We can create our own geniuses.
We create our own reality.
We can create our own professionals. We can create our own entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
that have the ability to change the course of St. Louis Black community. I know that you're going to just continue to soar. I'm expecting you to be on television. I'm expecting you to have cookbooks. I'm expecting you to just show people how living a good life
mm-hmm.
and constantly transforming, constantly finding foods that are healing, not foods that debilitates the body and the mind and the soul, but food that uplifts the body, uplifts the mind, uplifts the soul, because it all connects to community development.
Correct.
How you feel about yourself,
mm-hmm.
how you take care of yourself is the same spirit that an attitude
needs.
That the community needs for the rebuilding of the community. So food is essential
yes.
to community development.
It's the heart of it. It's actually the heartbeat of it, because if everybody got some good food, they're in a good mood, they got a good attitude, and they're overflowing with the energy of goodness.
Yes.
And then you can see it in the neighborhood. The streets are clean. People are happy. People making money. And then in the community development, that's where some of the Black businesses can help give people jobs. People just, you know, it's just strength, love being provided.
Exactly. In fact, see, when you're eating good, and when I say eating good, you know, eliminating all of those
toxins.
Foods that kills the body,
mm-hmm.
getting off all of these meats. Our bodies are not meant to be consumers of meat.
Right.
Getting into holistic, organic foods that doesn't have all of the pesticides and the chemicals in it. And then even learning how to fast, even learning how to heal the body by cleansing it.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that we need to do all the time.
An alkaline approach.
Yes, it's just so basic. How to eat to live is in it's embedded in the whole philosophical outlook of better family life. I was very much influenced by the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
yes.
who taught how to eat to live and
yes.
taught us how to eat one meal a day and fast regularly. And then from that genesis of eating, And I should point out to the audience, at one point in my life, I was eating horrible. There was a metamorphosis that took place in my family. In fact, I outline it in chapter 7 in the book.
Yes, from food, from pyramids to products and projects.
From the projects to the pyramids in search of a better family life. And I really urge people to get this book because, it's, you know, I was an average Black American. Average
there?
Black American that came up eating poorly, a lot of greasy food, a lot of pork, and a lot of everything that destroys the body. And a brother of mine's, older brother of mine's, Omar, came back from the Air Force in 1958 and started talking to us about, you know, how we ate and what we ate and what we shouldn't eat. And that evolution from 1958, 1959 onward put me on a path of just learning that food is essential to life. Mm-hmm. And that African Americans, we were taught how to eat all of the wrong foods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like soul foods. That was the, you know, we made a living out of eating the scraps that mm-hmm. was given to us. And we, you know, we were creative, so we knew how to put spices mm-hmm. on it and stuff
and all make
it,
herbs and stuff
and make it taste
there.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
But it was robbing our soul of health and mm-hmm. robbing our soul of just having a great appreciation for ourselves. And, you know, 2-3 generations of that has created all kinds of chronic diseases, as well as obesity and all kinds of mental, you know, conditions.
The things that the animals went through.
Yes.
The torture
oh
and all
gosh.
That stuff. So
and
their feeling is in the food and that we was eating.
Yes. And then all of the pesticides, all of the chemicals that are shot into the animals to fatten them up and to make them acceptable for market. So what we have to do is just relearn. When you learn more about your culture, more about your history, you also learn about food.
Mm-hmm.
And when you learn, again, as I said earlier, when you put all of that together, it just makes for a better mind.
Yes.
When you have a better mind, you can look at the conditions of the community with a clearer vision
mm-hmm.
of what actually hurts and ill the community, as well as some of the things that needs to be done to improve the community.
Yes. See, that is well said. I mean, see, that's why we need more people like you around, more people to come out and share their knowledge, because a lot of people don't know and people are willing to learn. You just got to be willing to introduce. And your book, you know, it speaks volumes itself in the title, From the Projects to the Pyramids. You know, you can come from one place and go to another place, all from the start point of your mind, the way you think.
That's right.
The way you see things.
Absolutely.
And I have one as well that I'm working on. It has not manifested into completion yet, but From Domestic to Respected. You know, I had my share of the lower grade of my life,
mm-hmm.
but I've become respected. I'm having yes. a conversation with you. And I have other people that I work with, but it all came from changing the formula of how I thought about myself.
That's right. When you change the formula of how you think about yourself, transformation is an everlasting reality. And that's the whole idea, from the projects to the pyramid. It's one level of development. The projects, the Abraham Lincoln Housing Projects in Harlem was a wonderful incubator of learning, of mm-hmm. knowledge, but it was the springboard that allowed me to go from one level of development to a higher level of development. And we say that the pyramids is the highest level of development. When you start
right.
going into the knowledge of the pyramids, you are going into the knowledge of
the mind,
of mental science,
yes.
astronomy, physics,
till today they don't know how they made it.
No, they do know how they made it. They, all of that stuff is well documented. What the problem is that Black people made all of that.
Yes.
You know, so they have to make it a mystery. How did we have such high science?
Right back all
how did we know, engineering? How did we know where the astrological constellations met in relationship to the rising of the Nile and the various seasons and the geometry of the earth and all of that stuff? So we were dealing with physics and geometry and metaphysics and science and mathematics. And so, when you want to deprive a people of the knowledge of themselves, you then say, well, there was some Martians that came down and did all of this stuff. No, there was black people of Africa that did all of this creative work. And again, it all goes back into how you eat.
That's right,
If
food.
you eat the right foods, you'll have the right thoughts. If you eat
Ooh.
the wrong foods, you'll
They have the
have the
wrong
wrong
thoughts.
thoughts.
That's
So to
right.
make a slave out of a person, you feed
Them
them
the
the
wrong
wrong food.
food. Ooh. I'm sorry, audience. That was so good. That was, I just got a, that was good. Give them the wrong food and they behave wrongly. And then they have low self-esteem and just,
Right.
that's just what it is.
Yes,
That is,
they are debt mentally to the knowledge of themselves. They're debt to the knowledge of their physical structure. See, this physical body is also connected to the entire
because it's
universe.
energy.
It is energy, and
Yes.
it's a receiver of all of this interplanetary energy and knowledge and information. And so again, the more you tune your body, audience, into who you are, and you love your body is a holy temple,
Yes, it is.
and you
It's very
cleanse
sacred.
that vessel, you start opening yourself up to all kinds of oceanic energies, planetary energies, vegetative energy, animal energy, your senses. You have more than five senses that you operate with. And there's probably 10, 15 different senses in your body, and probably there's more than that. The more that body is cleansed, the more you begin to purge that body and regulate what you eat and how you eat, the more you open up those senses to who you really are.
All right.
And you
It
are a
will begin to
child of
develop.
God. We are child and children of God.
Of all races, breeds, and creeds,
Oh,
there
absolutely.
is no exception.
Absolutely.
And love and food, it just kind of molds everybody together. Everybody got that in common.
Yeah.
Everybody got to eat because food to me is flavorful options of deliciousness. FOOD, flavorful options of deliciousness. And you decide what you want to eat. You control, how you want to feel and what you want to eat. And I know that if I eat something good and healthy, like a nice salad or nice piece of healthy poultry or just a nice refreshing beverage, I feel good.
Yes.
And then you can see it that I'm in a good mood. And guess what? That puts other people in a good mood.
Yes.
So food kind of just links everything.
Just imagine if we had just a community of people that was not drinking alcohol, that was not eating poisonous food, that was not smoking poisonous tobaccos and other weeds. Imagine the kind of tranquility that will exist in our community. See, we have got to create the mindset that we can create peace in our community. And it's what we put into our mouth and what we put into our nose. The bad food helps to perpetuate the substance abuse that's so prevalent in black communities. So we have work to do to clean our people up, to clean our community up.
And develop a system where we can introduce these communities to healthier eating habits.
Exactly. A healthy mind will create a healthy community.
And healthy eating is a lifestyle, actually. It seems like it could be difficult, but you just got to change just a few things about how you eat. Smaller portions,
Yes.
less grease, you know, cooking methods,
Yes.
bake, saute, stir fry.
And you know what? It doesn't have anything to do with religion.
No.
A lot of times people think that when they're talking about healthy eating, that, oh, you must be in some kind of religious order. No. Healthy eating is about you making a decision about how much you love yourself. How much you love yourself. So it's a love movement. The more you love yourself, the more you see what you can deprive yourself of that is doing harm to your body, to your mind, to your soul. We have got to create a mindset that communicates on all three levels, the body, the mind, the soul. All have to be given healthy nourishment.
They all need attention in its own way because they all work in our lives in different ways.
Absolutely. They're all a part of us.
So basically, you, well, with that being said, you don't focus on the mission. Matter of fact, you don't focus on the result. You focus on the process.
Yes. Because the process will definitely lead to very positive results. And the more you get into it, the more you see that, oh, I can do this. There's a time that, you know, it used to be difficult for me to fast for one day, just not eat anything, just drink water to flush myself out. And
because you was taught that you had to eat.
Yes. Oh, three meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're taught. We're taught, you know, like the dairy industry when we were children, so you had to drink milk every day. And a lot of people was lactose intolerant, and it was killing them, you know, but the dairy industry was very strong. The meat industry was also very strong. So a lot of the industry, the cigarette industry was strong. A lot of these industries, they don't care about the health of people. You know, the, in fact, there's a consortium of from the food industry to the pharmaceutical industry. The food industry sets you up so that you'll be on the pharmaceuticals for the rest of your life. So all of them are just making money
and
just hustling off the human being. They have no feelings about human development. It's all about how much money you can get out of a person. Everything about this society, when it comes to poor people, and especially African-American people, is how much money will come from that person. The school to the prison pipeline is really all about money.
How can we be an asset?
Our young children are put on all of these drugs. And,
at a young age.
At a young age in school. In fact, a lot of times it is prescribed by the school system. And once they get acclimated to being drugged up all the time and given poor food like pizzas and other kinds of, you know, food that have no nutritional value, then they set the stage for them to start getting involved in the criminal process. And once they get involved in the criminal process, then they are in the criminal justice system. And the criminal justice system is all about taking money. It's warehousing you where they can just blood suck you. They're like vampires. So we have got to know that we're dealing in a society that see us as the bait to suck our bloods until there is none, and then suck the marrow from the bones.
From the bones. You know? Where the good stuff is,
exactly.
In the bone.
And so eating good,
that's
food,
right,
counters that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you are in a position to see what's going on. Once you see what's going on with your body, you can see what's going on in the outer world. And then you're in a position to make changes.
In order to the... So when you change, you develop a whole new system.
You develop a whole new you.
Ooh.
You know, and you know, the interesting thing, once you really get into food, you find that the body renews itself every 21 days. So a new,
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Every 21 days?
Every 21 days, a new you is being reborn. So the more you take care of yourself through food and exercise, just being on top of your diet, the more you are seeing a new you. And the new you It's the you that God intends for
Ooh,
you to be.
yes,
You
yes.
are a child of God.
Yes.
We're children of God. And so we have to become God-like. God, being gods and goddesses ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm expecting from your food, Niecy, that your food will show people a new way, a
mm-hmm.
new them.
Give them a different layer of them. Unpeel another piece of them.
That's right.
And it feels so good. Like I was telling Ms. Deborah, it feels so good when you're introduced to another layer of yourself. You know who you are. Nothing is what it seems. You know who you are right now.
That's
because
right.
You're constantly thinking.
That's
and
right.
Being creative. And it just feels so good just to know that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a light at the end of every, you know, avenue.
Yes, absolutely. And we have to encourage our community to exercise. See, it's one thing to eat good, and we ought to do that. But it's a whole nother thing to get out and walk, you know, a mile or two, go to the gym, work out, to let the body, you know,
bloodstream, just relax,
you know,
and
yes,
just
and just
get
all of
yourself.
This toxic out of us.
It's the mucus.
We gotta eliminate. There should be eliminations every day, you know, or twice a day, until we can just get all of this toxic, you know, poisonous substances out of our body. And sometimes it might take 2, 3, 4, 5 years because we got years of it built up in
mm-hmm.
us. You know,
the
stuff doesn't just, you know, leave the body. It implants itself in the body. And then there's germs and other kinds of things that's also implanted in the body. So exercise is a wonderful way
to help sweat that out
of just cleansing the body
mm-hmm.
and cleansing the mind.
Mm-hmm. And so I have one question for you, and
yes.
It's something that we've been dealing with since March of 2020, which is the COVID. How has the pandemic, in your opinion, affected the development in the community? It, you know, it has kind of allowed people to become at a standstill.
Well, certainly this pandemic has been a powerful disincentive for people to do much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people have gotten obese as a result of it, staying at home, not doing much of anything. But what the pandemic have really shown is the vulnerability of the African-American community. We have seen hordes of families who have lost loved ones due to this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of families, you know, they were already suffering from chronic diseases
mm-hmm.
such as high blood pressure, diseases, hypertension, kidney problems,
mm-hmm.
obesity, just all kinds of just horrible pre-existing conditions. And so when COVID then came around, it exposed those things. And then on top of the devastation that the COVID virus was having on African American communities, then the health disparities.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of African Americans that were not even admitted into hospitals and was told to go home because there was nothing that could be done. Respirators weren't available and any other kind of preventative measures were not taken. So our community were devastated. The black and brown communities of the 525,000 deaths in this country, I would think that 60 to 70% of them have been African Americans and brown people. The health disparity is a part of the systemic racism that we face on a day-to-day basis. That's why we have got to take measures in our own hand by living a more productive life
mm-hmm.
because we face institutional problems when we have these kinds of pandemics that take place. And, you know, we all know that there's been experimentations on black folks. So there's a reluctance even in some sections of the community to even want to get tested. And that's not good, because we should be tested and we should constantly mm-hmm. be vigilant about our health. And COVID is taking a big toll on our community.
That's why we must develop in the community something different, change something about COVID, you know, not let it be our downfall. Don't let it be something that keep us in the pits. You know, it helps us pivot. It helps me pivot. You know, I think that if we continue to build and energize entrepreneurship, that we can start a economic revolution in black communities.
I would say you're absolutely right there, but I would also urge our community to make sure you get regular health screenings every 6 months, every year. Don't go a long time without being checked up, especially those of us who are getting older. Mm-hmm. We need to constantly have our health monitored by professionals. And some of those professionals can be herbologists, chiropractor, holistic medical doctors, as well as traditional medical doctors. The point is that we should always be checked. And on the other point that you made in terms of the entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. it is so important that black people recognize that we contribute over $1.2 to $1.5 trillion into the gross national product of this country every year.
Yes.
And less than 2% of that money returns to the African-American community. So entrepreneurship, and this is why I'm so thankful and grateful for the work that Better Family Life has done, entrepreneurship has to be at the source of everybody's business. Everybody, whether you work a 9-to-5 or however you work, you should have a second job. You mm-hmm. should have a third job. Mm-hmm. You should have 3 and 4 streams of income.
That's right.
And we should try to every ounce of our ability to do business with other African Americans. You know, Niecy, every time that I purchased something from you,
mm-hmm.
I felt so good putting money into your hands. It was a blessing to exchange money with another African American. And sometimes you would say, no, Malik, you know, you've done so much in this community and I just want to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, no, sister, you are working. And I want to be one of those that help you
mm-hmm.
in your entrepreneurial spirit. So
thank
I felt
you.
Good just giving you money and then eating your good food.
Thank you so much. Again, that feels fantastic to hear. His feedback is always good. It keeps us going.
Yes.
It keeps us going. And I know that we can talk about this for hours and hours and hours, but I do want to ask you to let our audience know, how can they retrieve one of your books? And I would like to announce another giveaway that we'll be doing this month. We did one earlier this month, March the 5th. We're going to do another one at the end of this month, March the 26th. At St. Paul AME Church with Mr. Pastor Booker. We're going to be feeding over 200 families. We just want to make sure that people can have a meal they can count on. At least one meal, you know, if I can just give you one meal, I feel good. I want to figure out how I can feed 1 million people.
Whoa.
What organizations can I pull together to link up to feed 1 million families?
Well, you can certainly pull BFL, even though I am the formal CEO and I really can't speak for what the current administration is doing. But I will definitely put a plug in their ear.
I think we can
that,
do it.
Chef Niecy wants to feed 1 million people, and Better Family Life ought to be a part of
yes.
that effort. With respect to the book, mm-hmm. From the Projects to the Pyramid.
Yes, how can we get that?
This book is a must read.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about chapter 7, and in that chapter, which starts on page 63, in that chapter, we talk about eating and how the transition occurred. And also throughout the book, I talk about how my mother fed so many people in our household. But the book can be purchased on Amazon.com.
Okay.
Please rush to get it. It is a book that you won't be able to put down because it's just full of so much information. And although this chronicles the journey of Better Family Life, it chronicles my journey, but it is all of our journeys. Mm-hmm. It's a blueprint. You can get so much inspiration from just following the blueprint that's laid out. If you're interested in building an organization, we show you all of the how-to mm-hmm. of how to build an organization. If you're interested in travel, I share with you my travels. If you're interested in family life, I share with you my family life, coming from a very humble beginning, living in a wonderful environment, but an environment that had a lot of challenges to it. I chronicle all of those challenges that we went through and the commitment of staying on track mm-hmm. with growing. This book shows you how to grow and how to have a positive mind, because a positive mind is what wins success. So please get the book on Amazon. If you're in the St. Louis community, you can go to the Better Family Life Culture Education and Business Center at 5415 Page Boulevard. Or you can write to me at Malik Ahmed, care of Better Family Life, 5415 Page Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63112. Telephone number, area code 314-367-3440, extension 199. If you write to me, I will autograph a copy of the book for you. But this is a book that you must have in your library. And the other thing that I would like to say about this book, mm-hmm. this book also gives you an idea and the reality that you have a book within you. Your experience,
yes, you can write your own story,
is so important. So this is a book of encouragement. Please get it.
Thank you.
And it's only $25.
$25? That's not bad.
If they're mailing it, if I have to mail it, it's $30 because of the postage. But you want to read this book. Amazon has been selling and it's selling well on Amazon, and I'm so thankful. We have got to build a Better Family Life movement in the entire world, because the entire world needs a better family life. And better family
That's
life
right.
just means I love you.
That's right. It makes your life better. It gives your life purpose.
Yes, I love you. We have to have a love revolution.
Yes, we do. And I love you, Facebook. I love you, audience. And thank you for those who tuned in. And thank you again, Ms. Malik Ahmed, for your vision, your purpose. I have been honored to be a graduate from the class. And shout out to Mr. Eddie Davis for the class, Mr. Carlton Jones, Nilu Path, and also Mr. Xander Sims for helping assist us with this video production today. Have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for tuning in to the That's So Good podcast with Mr. Malik, with food and
community development.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, right.
Thank you.
Okay,
so how much time?
How long was it?
Yeah.